touch of hands so kind and tender.
I know some of you have already seen them, but in the lobby we have the calendars for 2021. If you haven't gone totally digital with your calendars, we do have these. I remember seeing these when I was a kid, I think. I'm just kidding. I think my grandma used to hang one on her refrigerator or something. But those are back there. If you'd like to have one of those, help yourself. And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 21 as we take the next psalm in progression. We were just there with Psalm 20 last week. And you see the title up on the screen. Pastor Taylor asked me earlier this week, what are you preaching on? So I told him the title, and he just kind of looked at me. Okay, so I guess I need to clarify that statement or that title up there. Everyone likes to win, right? I hope so. Come on, who likes losing? Raise your hand if you love being a loser, right? Nobody, we all like to win. Whether it's big or whether it's small, a win is a cause for celebration, right? People get excited when they win. Unfortunately, the precursor to a win is usually some kind of contest, we'll call it. We see this in sports. We see this in politics recently. It could be a challenge, a battle, maybe even personal victories can come from a variety of areas. But we all like to win. How many of you won this last week? In certain areas, yes. Politically speaking, don't raise your hand. I don't think nobody knows yet. We'll know next summer, maybe. I don't know. As far as that's concerned, because I know a lot of people are talking about the elections, it's on people's minds. Did your guy win? Did your guy win? Whose guy is your guy? Well, if you're in favor of socialism and totally trashing democracy, as all of these veterans stood today have fought for to protect and preserve, if you're in favor of dropping the borders, throwing away something else our veterans fought for to protect and preserve, if you're in favor of the government deciding how much you can make and who's going to get if you make too much, if you're in favor of killing babies, then I guess it looks like your guy won. But I'm going to say this. My guy won. Now, before you associate me one direction or another, my guy won almost 2,000 years ago. And when my guy won almost 2,000 years ago and was put on the throne, that's a throne that comes with no term limits. So that means he is still on the throne over any earthly thrones that exist today. In fact, the Bible tells me that my guy establishes those thrones and tears them down at his will. Ask me what I think about the elections. I don't. They are what they are. It doesn't matter. My guy's on the throne. My guy won. I know a number of you in here. If I could have someone close those back doors. There's a glare coming in there. That'd be helpful to me. Thank you. Several of you have been on mission trips before, and I made this analogy Saturday in our men's connection. If you've been on a missions trip, you might understand this. Jim and I have been on several together. I think I've been in over 17 different countries. And every time I go to a country, I've never involved myself in the politics. Years ago, I was in Ireland for a short stay for about 2 weeks. And, you know, there's that Northern Ireland and the dispute, and there was like terrorist acts taking place and different things like that. I was there. I didn't care. Do you know why? Because I wasn't staying. I didn't care who was right about the views of Northern Ireland and Britain and all that political stuff. It didn't matter to me because I was going home in 2 weeks. Folks, I may be going home tomorrow. I don't care about the election or how it turns out because my guy's on the throne. There is no reason for me as a Christian who serves this king to be upset about what's going on down here with these kings. God just doesn't, for me personally, he doesn't lay that to be a burden on my heart. Now, down here, God has given us as Christians the freedom to vote. I know our Constitution says we have the right to vote. It's a freedom that God allows us to have that other Christians in the world don't have. And as a Christian, you better exercise your right to vote, your freedom to vote, or God will take it away. For whatever reason, the Bible says that God puts kings in their thrones and he takes them down. He refers to them as kings, okay, not presidents. He refers to them as kings. And in a monarchy, kings ascend the throne usually through birthright or killing off their brother, and then they get elected king or get to be the king. But in America, it is so much different. Aren't you glad we don't have a monarchy here? Because we wouldn't have a choice over who our next king is or queen. We wouldn't have a choice. But we are so blessed that God says, okay, when I install a new leader over the United States of America, I'm choosing to do it this way. I'm going to allow everyone to vote to do it that way. So God says to us as American Christians, this is the way I want this to be done. Well, I don't want to. We don't have a choice, folks. As Christians, we need to vote. because that's God's method of establishing leadership here in the United States. We need to vote. We need to be a part of that. And as I said, my guy won, so I'm happy. Because this is just a mission trip for me. We serve a different kingdom, don't we? We're not staying here. We're going home at some point. When we talk about personal victories, okay? Moving the election aside now. Could be a personal victory that you experienced. Maybe last week someone got a job. I know they did. I heard testimony this morning about someone who got a job this morning in Sunday school. That was exciting. A personal victory over finishing a task. Achieving a goal, maybe, that you've set for yourself. How about this? Paying off a debt. You get a win. And you can celebrate by buying a new flat screen TV or something. No, just kidding. Finishing school. That could be a personal win. Passing a test, beating a habit, recovering from an illness. And we'll celebrate because we've got a win. Restoring a relationship even can be considered a win. Wins are cause to celebrate. So how do we celebrate our victories? As we looked at last week, we considered Psalm chapter 20. David and his nation were preparing to go into battle. Psalm 21, scholars believe, was written right after that. God gave them the victory, and now Psalm 21 is written reflecting the victory that God gave them in between the two. As believers, folks, we are engaged in spiritual battle every day. Whether we realize it, recognize it, or choose to ignore it or not, we're engaged in a spiritual battle every day. We can be victorious every day through the blood of Christ and through the enabling of the Holy Spirit. What this psalm does is teach us how to glorify and praise the Lord. I love the songs that we sang today, Bow the Knee. I don't mean this to sound as a rebellious statement, but I bow the knee to one king. That's it. By the way, my king told me, the king that I bow the knee to, my king told me in the New Testament to render unto presidents what I'm supposed to render unto presidents, by the way. That does not mean that we need to rebel against authority. There's enough admonition in Scripture to shoot that down right now, okay? But we're engaged in this battle every single day. And how do we praise and glorify God after this past week, for example? Here's how. Number one, looking at this psalm. Number one, rejoice in the gifts God has given you. Folks, we need to distinguish what David's celebration here was focused on. God. If the election had been settled last week and it was a clear-cut blowout victory for our guy, okay, whoever your guy may be, how should we be celebrating today? What should our celebration be focused on today if our guy won last week? I'll tell you what, God. Regardless of who won the election, God is who our focus should be on. Do we do that? I mean, David recognized and confessed in this psalm that he couldn't have been victorious without God. Do we do that? Do we thank God in our prayers? If we do, another question, how do we thank God in our prayers? Is it, you know, the general thank yous? Thank you for our health, thank you for our home, thank you for our food, thank you for your blessings upon us, all those general thank yous. When David prayed, he prayed specifically. We saw that in verse 20 or chapter 21. And when he praised specifically, not the general thank yous. So we're going to look at how he specifically praised and also tie it with what he specifically prayed for in the previous chapter that we looked at last week. Here's one of the things he praised for. Number one, God's strength. In Psalm chapter 21 and verse 1, here's our verse. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. In verse 6 of the previous psalm, he prayed specifically for God's supernatural strength to enable him with the battle that was coming. And now we see him praising him for the strength God has given him. Do we praise God for the strength that he gives us? Now, some of you are older than me, I know. Some of you would still look at me and say, oh, he's a young guy. Wait till you get older. I'm older, okay? And the things that I used to hear older people say about getting up in the morning, in living color, I realize that now, okay? And sometimes you just need some strength. So for Christmas, I found on Amazon this IV kit to hang by your bed with coffee to get me out of the bed in the morning. I didn't see that, but wouldn't that be awesome? And you have it set on a timer, like 30 minutes before you get up, before your alarm goes off, it just starts feeding you the sweet nectar of God's creation. Anyway, I digress. God's strength. That's what we need every day, don't we? Did God give you strength yesterday? Yes. Did any of us praise God for the strength that he gave us yesterday? Specifically, we need to praise God. Here's the second thing. David praised him for many victories. In that same verse, verse 1, he referenced an acknowledgement that God has proven himself in the past with past victories. Notice in our verse 1, if we could have that back on the screen, please. We see the word joy and we see the word rejoice. Now, David's not just being redundant there and changing the word a little bit. They are from two different Hebrew words that have a slightly different impact. The first, the word joy, refers to just an inner emotion, glad in heart, happy, okay? The king shall joy in God's strength. He's just emotionally, he's happy about that. And in thy salvation, he then says, how greatly shall he rejoice? That one refers to an outward action, different from joy, which is inward emotion. Now, rejoices is outward reaction. The Hebrew word literally means to twirl or spin around. And I'm not going to demonstrate that for you. So I'm going to ask Pastor Taylor if he would just stay seated, please, because he would do it, folks. And I would lose all control right now. Okay, could you see him twirling down the aisle? What would that look like? King David rejoiced. He did this. It literally twirled or spun around. He's celebrating the strength that God gave him, the past victories. He's celebrating like when someone scores a goal in the end zone. Okay, they're jumping up and down. They're spinning around. I was watching an old game show. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? If they made that, are you smarter than a first grader? I might win. Some of those questions on there are ridiculous, folks. They're absolutely made up. They have to be. And there was this college guy on there. And his frat brothers were there in the row behind him cheering him on. And every time he got an answer right, you know what he was doing? He wasn't standing behind the contestant stand going, oh no, this is a college dude. Man, he's out, he's running around, he's jumping up and down, pumping his fist, twirling and spinning around, okay? In celebration. Do we get that excited when we praise God? Oh, where's Pastor going with this? By the way, it does say in the New Testament, in our gatherings, let everything be done decently in an order. Okay, that tempers it. But we should be getting excited about what God has done for us, even after last week. We should be excited, focused on God. And if we're focused on God, that's all I see. And we get excited about the strength God has given to us, the many past victories that God has given to us. I think, I'll just say this, I think we could loosen up with our emotions a little bit. I think so. I'm not suggesting twirling and spinning down the aisles, okay? But I think we could loosen up on our emotions a little bit. Especially when we're singing praises to God for what he has done and the past victories. Now, let's read verse 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. God has given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Number 3, he's praising God for his heart's desire. God gave him his heart's desire. Do you remember the psalm from last week? The congregation in the first half, they literally prayed that God would give David the desire of his heart. Literally, they were saying, give David whatever he is asking for. That was huge. Do you remember that? Wow, that could be dangerous, couldn't it? Think about our earthly leaders today. I don't know that I'd pray that for any of them. God just... whatever they want, give it to them. Why would they pray that for King David? It is kind of risky, but they knew his desires would be in line with God's desires. So they could pray that with confidence. In this verse, David is just acknowledging to the people that God heard and answered their prayers. So David is acknowledging and praising God for answered prayers. Number 4. That is number 4. Answered prayer. David praised God for answering his prayers. Notice that David prayed with his lips. I'm just going to point that out. He prayed with his lips. That meant he spoke out loud. In public. We should be willing to do that. Prayer is not just a private thing. There's too many examples of praying with the lips in public throughout the Bible. He shared his heart with those around him. And because of that, listen, because of that, they all knew better how to pray for him as well. Number 5, rich blessings. In Psalm 21 and verse 3, we find this verse. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. David is just describing the blessings that God has given him. Question for us. Are we blessed? Yes. Yes. And I knew y'all would say that sitting in here. But how about last week when your car broke down? I am so blessed. Yes, that's right. Back about 4 weeks ago, I took my motorcycle out. I thought, man, it's a beautiful night. I'm just going to take this out just for a little spin. And the battery had died because it had been a while since I rode it. So I put the charger on it, got it started up. And I told my wife, I said, I'm just going to go for a quick buzz outside of town here and charge the battery up, you know, rev those RPMs up within the speed limit and just charge that battery up. And so, boom, I took off. I start heading west towards Kincaid, and I got about a mile and a half, 2 miles out of town and realized I was reminded that I was on empty and it stopped out of gas. Oh, great. So I turn around, it's dark, and I'm pushing it down the road back towards town, and there's no houses out there. And then a car pulls up and stops, and this lady gets out and says, can I give you, you know, take you in to get some gas or something? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, she said, I don't know if the gas station still has gas cans that you could borrow. I said, oh, it's okay. I live about 2 blocks from the gas station. I got a gas can there. Oh, well, I don't know if I can trust you or not. I thought, what? You're going to have me get in your car and go to the gas station anyway, right? And just about that time, a car pulls up behind her and the lights flip on. I said, oh, good. Okay. Taylorville's finest. They're here to save me and this poor woman from this stranger on a dark road pushing a motorcycle. And the lights go on, and it's not Taylorville PD. It's a county deputy that gets out of the car. And that's when I realized, oh, great, because they all know me because I'm a reserve deputy. I thought, great, now they're going to know that I ran out of gas. So that's fine. So the deputy is kind of like keeping me safe with the traffic so I get my bike up to the nearest driveway, and we parked it there. Right about that time, a second deputy pulls up. But, oh, great. Now there's at least two that know, okay? But as I'm pushing the bike, the deputy gets on their radio, and they call dispatch. And she had asked what my deputy number was, 1130. I told her. She said, dispatch, I've got 1130 here. He ran out of gas with his motorcycle. Now they all know. That wasn't very smart, you know? And right then, I don't know if I was praising God for my bike running out of gas. You understand what I mean, though? We can sit in here. It's so easy to say, yes, I praise God for all the good things. But what about last week when that bad thing happened? Were we praising God or were we irritated? When we came home from work or from school, or not school, sorry, those that don't go to school. Parents, when the kids were home supposed to be doing schoolwork and they're not and you don't understand it, are you praising God still? Are you rejoicing, twirling and spinning? Taylorville, this week they're going to go to school a little bit. Yay! Okay, we're going to have parents out in the neighborhood twirling and spinning, rejoicing. How many things, we consider ourselves blessed, but how many things could you put on a list right now? I'll give you 5 minutes. How many things could you write down on the list? If, and you start writing as fast as you can, and then you have to, start thinking. Would you have to start thinking before the 5 minutes ran out? It's just a little exercise here to make us think how little we praise God for all the blessings he has given to us. I've mentioned this before. How about the fact you were born in the United States instead of a Middle Eastern country or a third world country? 200 boxes and they're in the back room going to children who would not get a present this year if it weren't for those. It is going to make their day to get a bunch of Dollar Tree stuff. We are so blessed, and not praising God for blessing us, specifically blessing us with what? Spend minute after minute after minute in prayer. Try it. Not asking for a thing. Not going down the Christmas list that we have for our cosmic Santa who is there to give us whatever we pray for, but just praising him for what he's given to us. Number 6, let's move on. David praised him for life, right now and forever life. In verse 4 of chapter 20 from last week, he said, he asked life of thee and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. I'm sorry, that's chapter 21. He asked life of thee, thou gavest it him. And here's the forever part, length of days forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's one of those things that helps me wrap my mind around the fact that I don't care how last week turns out. Because I am forever, 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 after this mission trip is over with, be with my King in heaven. Which, as I said before, he has no term limits. He establishes the term limits for everyone else. This is not just a praise for God sparing David's life in the previous battle, but it's also a reference to Christ, David's descendant. One of the things God promised David in the Davidic covenant was you, your family, your seed will be on the throne forever. Well, there is no throne in Israel right now. Jesus Christ was David's descendant. He's on the throne forever. Okay, David's praising God for that, and he didn't even know how it was going to work itself out like we do today. Number 7, David praised God for honor. Chapter 21, verse 5, it says, his glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. David is just simply praising God for the honor that he, David, received through the victory. David was a great warrior, a great king, scored many victories. He was a brilliant strategist when it came to war and warfare. And he said, God, the honor that I get for being this great military leader, it's because of you. Praising God for specific things. And how about this one, number 8, he praised God for his presence. Verse 6 of chapter 21, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance or thy presence. Folks, David was a devoted worshiper of God and David loved being in the presence of God. He loved it. Those of you that are married, here we go. Do you love being in the presence of your spouse? Now's a good time to nod your head yes. Okay? I'm just saying. It would be very difficult for me to verify this statement. I love being in my wife's presence. There's the statement. Very difficult for me to prove it. If every chance I get, I avoid being in her presence. Every excuse I can think of to get out of spending time with her, whether it's something at school or something at work or something going on at the lake or something going on with my hobby, or I just don't feel good, or I was too tired, or whatever. Could you not question my statement that I love being in her presence? Absolutely. Now, don't answer the question. Just to toss around in your mind, David said he loved being in the presence of God. Do you? Just answer it in your mind. And would your life back it up? Something to think about. I want to take a moment to bring this psalm out of the distant, dusty past, okay? This psalm is intended to guide us in lifting our voices to God. The same blessing that David praised God for, we as sons and daughters of God, we all have the same blessings that David did. Every single one of these. God's strength is yours for every challenge. Victory is yours through Jesus Christ. What does it say in the New Testament? We are more than conquerors. We not only won, we're more than winners. We're rulers. God is your Father, so he hears every prayer. When you choose to walk in faith and obedience, God promises to bless and prosper you. God has exalted you, and you will reign with Christ forever as a believer. You have eternal life. You'll never perish. You will share in the glory of Christ. Christ has promised you his unfailing presence. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, just there in the last 30 seconds or 60 seconds that it took to go through those blessings that we have from God. How many of you thought about last week? Who cares, right? Because right now we're focusing on God, who, by the way, is our ruler. That stuff doesn't matter. Every one of those things that I listed has not been impacted at all by any earthly election and never will be. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." 1 John 2, it says, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." Another verse from 1 John, chapter 5. "And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Here's a thought for us. David was able to praise God for these specific things because he asked for specific things. Don't you think that too often our prayers are general prayers? They're maybe thoughtless, maybe effortless. Like, here's what I mean by effortless, and I'll use a child's prayer for this, okay? And as soon as I start, many of you'll be able to finish it. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy and daddy and my sister and my blah, 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 blah." Effortless. Took me no effort to pray that prayer. That's an effortless prayer, okay? I'm not saying it's sinful or wrong. I'm just saying there's a difference between that kind of a prayer and one that we put effort in and pour out our heart to God. Evaluate your prayer life. The Bible says we have not because we don't ask. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to get everything we ask for. But we do need to evaluate our prayer life. Are you really asking God for anything specific? Praying that God would bless all the people, heal the sick, save the lost. God, I pray you would be with this person, be with that person. What does that mean? Be with this person. What specifically are we asking God to do? Be with that person. There's something more to it than that. Pray specifically, pray that Jim and Bob and Sarah and Lisa from work would come to know you as Savior. God, I pray specifically that you would use me as an instrument to lead them to you. That's a whole lot different than praying for those that are lost. We have not because we ask not. Are you really asking God for anything specific? Indefinite prayers yield indefinite answers. And when we have indefinite answers, how can we praise God specifically? We don't have any specific answers because we don't have specific prayers. It's kind of a chain link there. So we glorify and we praise the Lord by rejoicing in those specific gifts that he has given to us. Here's the second thing that we do. Declare your trust for future victories. There's something that happens when you reflect on past victories, as David had done. When you look at how, yep, been there, done that, conquered that before, okay? It just builds confidence. I may be starting a flooring project at home, laying some of this new snap together flooring that they've got out. I've never done it before. I'm watching YouTube videos all over the place, trying to learn, and I'm looking forward to having fun. Right. Well, hopefully. But you know what? After I've done it a few times, like painting a room, no problem. I approach that with confidence and trust. Okay. if I woke up one morning and think, oh, I got to paint my bedroom. Oh no, I don't know what to do. I just remember, oh yeah, I've done this 1,000 times. Confidence and trust. When we reflect on past victories that God has given to us, past blessings, we can move forward with confidence and trust regardless of what the courts decide about last week. I have determined, I have vowed as a Christian who serves the King, who's on a throne with no term limits, I am not going to be lacking in confidence and trust because of what took place last week. We shouldn't be anything less than confident as Christians because God is on the throne, folks. David wanted his people and us to know that God was supremely trustworthy. How so? Here's one way. His mercy and love will not let you fail. Amen. Psalm chapter 21 and verse 7. Here's what David wrote. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. It is God's unfailing mercy and love that binds him to his people. We are not bound to God because of our goodness and our niceness and how we serve him and worship him. Because as he says, all of that good stuff we do is as filthy rags in his sight. He is bound to us, we to him, because of his mercy and his love. And David rested in that truth. Your love for God, does it ever change? Your love for God, if it was based on your actions and decisions you made, does it ever change? Probably so. Ebbs and flows. God's love for us never changes. And that's what binds me to him. And because his love and mercy never changes, I can be confident in knowing that that's never going to change. Because of God's trustworthiness, number two, you will defeat your enemies. Okay, Psalm 21, verses 8 through 12. We'll read this whole section here. It says, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. This is David referring to God's hand. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath. The fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. Let me stop. Do you not see in our country, in our culture today, there are people that intend evil against God? It's everywhere. They imagine a mischievous device, a plan, a law, a resolution, a political scheme, which they are not able to perform. I wonder how many times people have tried to erase God from a society. We can look back at some past world leaders that attempted that. Didn't work. They are not able to perform it. And today, Christianity still lives on. The Bible still is the best-selling book. Verse 12, therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Folks, what David is writing here, this is just complete confidence that God is going to give him victory over future enemies. It's going to happen. If God were to return tomorrow, okay, those that are perhaps doing things fraudulently in this world, they are going to bow the knee to the king. In spite of how important they may think they are or how much money and power they think they have, they will bow a trembling knee before God. And we will rule them, co-ruling with Christ. Anyone that attacked God's man or God's people in the Bible were called enemies of God. Okay, I just want to point that out. Anyone that ever attacked God's man or God's people were called enemies. If we would just understand that we are in the center of God's will, we would have boldness moving forward no matter what. Because anyone opposing God is his enemy. And I don't need to take care of God's enemies. He will. Verse 8 tells us no one is beyond God's reach. There is an appointed time on God's calendar that God will deal with his enemies and they will face his wrath. Verse 11 points out that it is a waste of time to oppose God. Those who try are actually working against God. They're actually working against our God. No. They're actually working against our Father. And my daddy's going to get you. Okay. It's kind of what the Bible teaches here. David knew he was not in this battle alone. His father would fight with him and for him. His confidence then was anchored not in an election result, not in his ability. His confidence was anchored in the fact that God had a divine purpose. He knew that he was kept in the palm of God's hand, no matter what was going on around. Folks, we have the same assurance. As long as we walk in obedience to him, nothing can harm us until God's purposes for our lives have been accomplished. And then we're just boarding that plane, leaving the mission trip, going back home. Until that time, God still has a purpose for us. And as long as he has a purpose for us, we're still kept in the palm of his hand. And no one can take us out. So we have to face our enemies or anything that tries to detour us from God's plan. Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. One more, Psalm 118, verse 6, it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Really, folks, when God is on our side, what can man do unto us? What's the worst that man could do unto any of us? Well, if you go back to that movie from a long time ago when I was a kid, The Thief in the Night, do you remember that movie? And they were beheading people on a French guillotine. Well, thankfully it was quick. In heaven, boom, that's the worst they could do to us is usher us home to heaven quicker. That's good stuff. That's the worst they can. What can man do unto me? Why do I fear? Number three, here's another way that we praise. We can praise God and acknowledge his power. Psalm 21:13, it says, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. God's purposes, his plans are accomplished through his power. Do we doubt his power? It was his power that defeated David's enemies. It was his power that defeated Satan on Calvary. The congregation of Israel exalted the Lord Israel vowed to sing the praises of God forever. That means no matter what, they were going to praise God. That should be our resolve today. No matter what, we're going to praise God for how good we got it. I guess that's one way to say it. We should stand back and give God the full glory for everything he has done for us. Every good thing that we have is due to him, due to his abundant love and mercy and power. We can do nothing to save ourselves. Salvation is completely of him. We understand that. We get that. We can do nothing to keep ourselves saved. So we trust God's power for that. Bible says we are kept by his power. God is not just our heavenly Father sitting in heaven. He is a mighty warrior. Therefore, we should always give him the glory and praise, for he alone is worthy of that. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father in heaven, God, our words cannot give you the honor that you deserve. For many of us, Lord, we may not be able to think of the majestic words to say to bring you honor. But that's okay, because we can honor you with our lives and our thoughts, our emotions, our anxieties should disappear as we honor you as our God and our King. Things that happen on this earth are completely irrelevant. Help us to stay focused on you as we move forward. Our country is going to need to see the light of Christ. They'll see it only from Christians who are trusting confidently in you as their King. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the music.